Well, welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined, as always, by Harvard head coach Tim Murphy. Our time with Tim this week, as we'll take a look back to the Crimson's victory in Worcester, knocking off the number 5 ranked Holy Cross Crusaders last Saturday at Polar Park, and looking ahead to a big Ivy League matchup. It'll be back to Ivy League play and back to Friday Night Lights at the stadium against the Cornell Big Red. Coach, welcome, and a hearty welcome this week. We've long since dismissed now, I know, the nature of the game, but a chance to look back for our purposes on the victory at Polar Park, the EBW Classic against the Holy Cross Crusaders on Saturday. Not often you can say this and really mean it, but from the opening kickoff, literally and figuratively, the Crimson seized control of that game. Bascone set the tone with the 62-yard opening kickoff return, and the Crimson were in the end zone 7-0, and you never look back.
Well, Bernie, I'm not sure. I found myself looking back a little bit, but to your point, very proud of our kids. They came out in all phases and played well, starting with that very important special teams play with the kickoff return. But our kids played with a lot of confidence. They played with a lot of poise. They made good decisions. They played extremely hard, and I'm not sure we could have played much better against an outstanding team. You know, we had watched them, obviously, in video and preparing. You know, we watched them really outplay Boston College, and so we certainly had a healthy dose of respect for their team, their coaching staff, and obviously playing them on the road. But the you know, one of our better outings, offense, defense, special teams, scout team, one of our better outings in a long, long time.
No question, and you mentioned we're from all phases, and thus the fact that I wanted to just mention that opening kickoff return, all phases, special teams included, with the offense and defensive elements that went into the victory. Coach, you know, sometimes you can see it coming as far as the effort that you got, and to have a team as ready to play as you were right out of the gate. Was that something that you kind of had a feel for during the week in terms of the coaches, the staff, the mood around the team, that confidence level that you seemed to have in the plan and the ability to execute the plan?
Yes and no, Bernie. I mean, our kids do a great job at practice. Obviously, the morale is high coming off 2 wins, coming off a sort of a last-second drive win against Brown. But I think the reality is that, you know, it's one play at a time. Our kids were very focused, obviously always motivated. And, yeah, it takes, you know, it takes a village. And without special teams, you know, some of the things we did right down to the last 40-yard field goal to put it up by 3 scores, the combination of things was just a really – good performance by our kids.
No question, the all-around. You mentioned the field goal at the end. And, well, I guess we maybe start at the end and work our way back, because that field goal culminated about as impressive a drive as I can remember with any of the teams that I've watched over my long association with you going back now to 25 years. I mean, the drive itself that you put together, and the ability to run the football, which we talked about last week, you know that was going to be an imperative, not only offensively, but to keep the ball out of Sluka's hands, to limit his opportunities in the game. But that drive that culminated with the field goal, 8 minutes and 19 seconds, controlling the clock, controlling the ball, and an offensive line that really seems to be with 3 new starters, and starters, as we mentioned, at every position there's a new starter with the moves that you made with your 2 All-Ivy returnees, really seem to be gaining a confidence and a really kind of a swagger to their game to be able to take control of things.
Well, to your point, Bernie, it's one thing playing hard; it's another thing playing with poise in all phases. And kudos to our assistant coaches, our staff, getting their kids ready position by position. And you know, the quarterback position is one where, when you consider that a year ago, scout team quarterback, talking about Charles Suprema, the 3 senior quarterback, you know, he's come a long way, and we still have a long way to go, but one thing about him, the kid is very savvy, the executed exactly what we needed to do to put the game away.
You look at DePrima and not only his running ability, and you certainly made me aware of that running ability and how impressed you were with his speed, his ability to get to the edge, to make plays in the running game. But to your point, Coach, about him coming off the scout team, so impressed with his decision-making process. And so many times in those situations, it's not just the ability to run, but it's the decision-making that's involved to be emphatic and to be able to make up your mind to run. And it seems like he's pretty good and has a pretty good grasp of that in terms of when he is going to go. When he's going to go, he's very emphatic about it in order to be able to take charge in those situations.
Yeah, no question about it. He understands the skill he has. He understands the looks where we want him to run the ball. And, you know, by the same token, he hangs in there when he needs to make those good big throws. But, yeah, I think the combination of the way Charles has played has helped guys like Shane McLaughlin, has helped us at the wide receiver position, has helped us at the tight end position with Tyler Neville. But the ability to spread the ball around, the ability to have guys that can make plays starting with the quarterback position has probably put us in a place offensively a little farther than we thought we would be at this stage of the game.
With the fact that you've got a couple of receivers that were among your top receivers that haven't got on the field as of yet with Hatch and Woods, I think it says it speaks even more about Cooper Barkate. You know he's going to attract attention. He certainly did on Saturday, but in terms of his playmaking ability, and DePrima on about as good a ball as I think he's thrown all year when he and Barkate hooked up on the big touchdown.
No question. Cooper's he's a terrific athlete. He's a terrific competitor. And, you know, to have a really top-level wide receiver, to have a top-level tight end like Tyler Neville, the way the running back position has probably exceeded our expectations as it has at quarterback with Shane McLaughlin. The combination of those things is, you know, these are kids, maybe other than Tyler Neville, that we were really not counting on a year ago, and they've really risen to the occasion.
And also, when you look at the situation, I just penciled in Dean Boyd on my two deep last week, and, well, his first career catch was a memorable one, a big one for a touchdown, and once again, with attention that Barkate's going to attract, it's going to open up some things, and it opened up Boyd for a really big game-turning play.
That was definitely a big play, Bernie. I say that because I'm sure that Holy Cross was saying, well, who the heck is this kid? He hasn't played a whole lot. He's
right.
A sophomore.
Yeah.
He was actually down with me as a tight end a year ago when we decided that, you know, we need more help at the wide receiver position. He's probably not going to be the usual 240-pound tight end. And the combination is, I think that Mickey Fine has done a terrific job with that receiver group. And he made a big play, and that gives us momentum. Gives us momentum at the position, and it's guys like, conceivably, Ledger Hat, guys like Scotty Wood come back from injuries, and Cater Odomun continues to play well. I think that the receiver position can be a strength of our team.
And notice the creativity in offensive game plan and game calling, getting the ball in Barkate's hands in other situations. For example, the jet sweep and some of those reverse calls. And one of them paid off with the big touchdown with his 8-yard touchdown run. So he found the end zone twice, once on the ground and once through the air.
Well, no question about it. You've got to find different ways to get him the football. And, you know, whether that be on jet sweeps, whether that be on screens, whether that be on, you know, deep shot plays, you've got to get him X amount of touches per game. And if you do, the worst case scenario is they're going to double cover him and someone else is going to be open.
Great balance offensively overall from the run and the pass for you, 360 yards and balanced out with 209 on the ground, 151 through the air. Very efficient job by DePrima. Last guy I got to mention on offense, can't go without, I think, from week to week, talking about Tyler Neville and what he means to your team and continuing that long crimson line of great players at the tight end and the H-back position.
Yeah, Tyler's got it all. You know, somebody asked me today, who does he remind you of? And I said, well, he's a bit of a cross between, let's say, Kyle Juszczyk with the 49ers.
Yep.
And, you know, probably maybe Cam Brate.
Yes,
Tampa Bay.
Tampa.
You know, he has that physicality to play fullback, yet he can play wide receiver just the way that the Niners moved Juice around, just the way that we did when he was in college, and yet he has those excellent blocking skills like Cam Brate did and the ability as a big guy to get open and finish plays. So I'm not saying he's going to the NFL. I am saying that he's a terrific player and a terrific competitor.
And as you mentioned, being able to move him around, his versatility, coach, has allowed you to play a little bit more in the sets that you are comfortable in, as depleted as you are at wide receiver. So that's even more of a plus, I would imagine, when you're having your offensive meetings from week to week.
Yeah, no question about it. And he's a very, very tough physical kid. He's someone that is a huge presence in a very humble way on our football team. He's a great leader. Nate's our captain, but guys like Tyler have to be able to shoulder some of that load, and we've had plenty of guys do that so far in the first couple weeks of the season.
And defensively, 5 turnovers. I mean, that's you could stop the conversation right there, forcing 5 turnovers and some huge plays defensively. A.J. Lopez, one of your young new starters at the cornerback position, Ivy League and the FedEx National Player of the Week. I don't know, take your pick. The forced fumble was just a great individual play, and then a great combination play, tip drill, utilized to perfection with Henderson, your emerging sophomore getting a piece of one, and Lopez being able to take it to the house.
Well, no question. Anytime you get 5 takeaways, I think Vegas would put your odds at winning in the high 90s.
And yes,
that had a huge impact on our game.
Yep.
Flipped the field. Momentum, the combination thereof was huge. Our defense played great. Great in the context that, you know, by forcing those turnovers, put the offense in some great scoring opportunities. And anytime you're a +5, you're doing well. And you look at those kids we spoke to, whether it's Tyler Barton with an interception, whether it's AJ with an interception, whether it's Henderson who forced the interception for AJ. They're all young kids. You got AJ as a sophomore, Ty's a sophomore, and Henderson's a freshman. So we've got some young guys playing in there, and they're going to have some hiccups. But boy, they've really responded to the challenge.
Indeed. And of course, Shipman on the other side, the other corner, has held up well also in a brand new role for him, and taking Alex Washington's number and playing at that position.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure, like I said, there'll be times where, you know, they don't make the perfect play, but we'll come back the next play, get it fixed. And, you know, I'd rather have talented, really, really hustling, tough guy who a young guy, you know, than, you know, conceivably the alternative. We'd all love to be playing, you know, 11 seniors in offense and defense, but it doesn't work that way in college football.
And Matt Hudson, literally and figuratively, right in the middle of your defense, coach. He led the way with 8 tackles and had an interception of his own. Pretty nice athletic play by Hudson. He's been a rock for you. I think all your expectations for him, I think, are probably to the level of expected or maybe exceeded by how well he's played anchoring that young linebacker group.
No question. He's been a rock, literally and figuratively, but he's a lot like Tyler Neville in the context that everybody in the program holds him to, you know, has such high esteem for him. He's got tremendous credibility on our team for the simple reason that he works so hard. He's such a tough kid. He's such a great leader by example, and he happens to be an outstanding player. And with Tyler on offense and with Matt Hudson on defense, it makes it a little bit easier for Nate Leskovic to share the load and not have to do it all.
And great to see the captain. Nate Leskovic hadn't missed any time in his career up until this season, and we had him as our Crimson Profile 2 weeks ago, and the frustration of not being able to get on the field. Just great to see him back on the field and leading by example on the field, not just in a vocal manner from the sideline.
No question. It was a big boost when the medical people said, Nate can play this week. Nate was excited to be there, and, you know, he had a little bit of rust, but his energy, his toughness, his playmaking ability definitely showed up in that game, and it's hard to quantify his presence, but it certainly was no small thing.
Did you expect to get that lift in the end zone at the end of the game? I had my sideline reporter, Sasha Abrams, report on that. I couldn't see it all the way down to the end, but she gave me the report that the team, you they gave you a lift at during the game, and they gave you a lift after the game, Coach.
I'm not sure exactly when that became, sort of our kid's thing. I think about, 8 or 9 years ago, 10 years ago, the guys had me do it once, and now if you don't do it, if you don't do it after win, it gets contentious. So kids get excited, and, one thing I love about coaching is that it brings you back to being a kid, and,
yes.
You may be a certain age, but you don't think you're that age. And, being around these guys keeps you young. And it's part of the love of the game that keeps me coming back, I guess.
Indeed. Just watch out for when you do the chair diving in the locker room, Coach. You're making me a little bit nervous on that one. So be careful with that one.
We've sort of perfected the craft somehow.
Exactly. We've got the necessary spotters and safety issues that have been addressed. Indeed. Well, Coach, it was you put that one. I know how it goes. I've been around you and been around coaches my whole life. You put that one behind you. You savor it, and it's now you're well on and moving on to Friday Night Lights in a short week in Cornell, back to Ivy League play. A Cornell team. I've been doing my homework here to get ready for Cornell, and I just the conclusion. This is a really good football team and a very experienced football team that you're going to see on Friday.
No question about it. Sunday we put. We certainly put Holy Cross in the ancient history category and on to our Cornell, from the frying pan right back into the fire. And I say that in the context that, this is a really good team. They finished last year really strong. They came out and all they did is get down to Yale and knock off the defending Ivy League champs who got all their guys coming back and are picked to win it again this year. They're a very dangerous football team. No question about it. We see more defense from them than we see from any three teams we play. They seem to have every blitz known to man. And it's hard to get all your guys to be in the right place as much as they're teaching. But they're really tough. They've got an outstanding dual-threat quarterback, not unlike the Yale quarterback, not unlike our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the combination thereof is the way they play defense and special teams, the way they played with great intensity, starting with the big, huge victory over Yale, we will definitely have if not a tiger by the tail, we'll definitely have a very, very confident, excited Cornell team coming to town.
And no question. My last point, you had Wilcox, and you talked about him as maybe being the best quarterback in the Ivy League, having to contend with him 2 weeks ago against Brown. Different look with him being a little bit more of an old school with the drop back and a pure thrower. But as you mentioned, Wang seems to be, and you've had experience playing against this guy with him becoming a starter so early in his career, now a junior, really is, I would say, about as good a double threat as there is in the league, with maybe your guy emerging to play in that same arena.
Well, there's no question about it. He makes him go, and, he's played a very high level of football this year. He's a much better player than he was a year ago. So, this will be a challenge for his defense. Having said that, having played against, the outstanding Brown quarterback, having played against Luca from Holy mm-hmm. Cross, they're all similar in that they're excellent players. They're new, they're as good as anybody on our schedule. At least we've seen some really good players the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
To prepare us for this outfit. But yeah, there's definitely no rest for our secondary, no rest for our defense, because those guys can really play.
Indeed they can, and they'll be playing it out again Friday Night Lights at the stadium, Harvard, Cornell, Crimson returning to Ivy League play. And Coach, my final word is I just hope that there is the same atmosphere, excitement level, and crowd that we saw for Brown, because it was just an outstanding atmosphere and excitement level that we experienced for the Brown game. Hopefully more of the same this week.
That would be great. You can certainly never predict it in the Ivy League, whether you're home and away, but that would certainly be great for the locals.
Indeed. Coach, thanks very much. Appreciate our time with Tim once again this week, and best of luck with the return to Ivy League play against the Big Red of Cornell with Friday Night Lights. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined this week for our Crimson Profile by not only the Ivy League Defensive Player of the Week, as if that wasn't enough, the FedEx National Defensive Player of the Week for his exploits out at Worcester at Polar Park at the Edward Bennett Williams Classic. Harvard taking down the number 4 team in the country, Holy Cross, on Saturday, 38-28. And right in the middle of it, and I do mean in the middle of it, with the Harvard performance on the defensive side, we have with us A.J. Lopez. A.J., welcome to Inside Harvard Football for our Crimson Profile, and congratulations for your accomplishments last week, for the accomplishments of you individually, and most importantly, for the Harvard defense.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and thanks for having me.
A.J., before we get to last week, just a little bit of background about you. You are a sophomore from Loganville, Georgia, which you've informed me is in the Atlanta area. And coming to Harvard, I'm always intrigued by the decision-making process and some of the other schools that might have had interest in you that I looked at. What about coming to Harvard and having the great opportunity to play for Coach Murphy and to get a Harvard education?
Yes, sir. Well, to start that off, I would say I'm very blessed to be here at Harvard. Going throughout my recruitment process in high school, I would say going to Ivy League at first wasn't, like, on my mind. I would say just as most athletes coming out of certain programs, especially my program, Grayson, that it wasn't high on my list. But like I said, getting to come here, getting to meet the coaches, talk to Coach Murphy throughout this process really showed me that Harvard was the place for me, that going throughout the process that Harvard showed me that they wanted me and that I wasn't just going to be another guy or another number here at Harvard. So, and the recruitment process was nice, but Harvard stood out, and that's the reason I'm here today.
And the Crimson are very happy. Everybody in Crimson Nation, up to including Coach Murphy, is happy that Ryan Crawford and a few others are happy that you made that decision. You mentioned about Grayson High School and a program that certainly has a great reputation, accolades on the resume of your high school, and included with you and your tenure was a Georgia 7A state championship. So you had some great success at Grayson during your high school career.
And I'm glad you bring up the state championship, because that was also a special year too, because that was the year during COVID.
Right.
So we were able to fight. We were able to go to an undefeated season to win state, and that year was extra special because of, like I said, COVID. The whole schools, you know, being in person, out of person, can't go to certain practices because of, you know, COVID issues. So that was very special as a team.
And you were a 3-year starter at Grayson. Not easy in a program that is as competitive as that. Played, obviously, defensive back, your position at Harvard, but also played both sides, actually all three sides of the ball, when you consider the fact that you played wide receiver and also excelled as a punt returner.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I did, you know, dabble with those things back in high school. And honestly, I played safety back in high school. So coming up to Harvard, they moved me to corner, which I feel for me was a great so I can, you know, get my hands on the ball and just be, you know, more comfortable in my game.
And not surprisingly, you were the Georgia Lottery Scholar Athlete of the Year in 2021. That speaks volumes about the fact that you would land at a place like Harvard for your football career because of your academic prowess.
Yes, sir. That was very special, too. I would say I found about that, like, a little bit later on. Like, in terms of getting that accolade, and after receiving that accolade, I was, you know, very grateful, because not that I'm just a football guy, you know, I wasn't all about that, you know, it was about the best of both worlds, my education and my athletics.
As a freshman, not surprisingly, made just a couple of appearances in game last year. What about the learning curve and the development at your position? And I think probably knowing in the back of your mind that there was going to be some significant changes in the secondary for this season with departures from a year ago, that you were going to have your opportunity.
Yes, sir. I would really say it wasn't the in-game experiences last year, but I would say it was more so the practice.
Right.
Spring ball, the preseason, all that. I feel like from freshman year going into my sophomore year, it was a big jump in terms of my athleticism and I would say my learning of the game. I'm still learning the game. I'm still young, but I would say that was what really grew me on and off the field as an athlete was that spring period and the preseason, just being able to grow and really get acclimated and, you know, hone in to my position and my role on the team.
And being able to win the starting job at the corner position on the opposite side. Also, the Crimson knew there'd be some new faces out there. Gavin Shipman has inherited Alex Washington's number 0, and he's on the other side of the field. And you guys have certainly become very comfortable at all-important, the way the game's played today, the all-important corner positions in terms of coverage and responsibility very quickly with the Crimson's 3-0 start.
Yes, sir. And I'm glad you bring up 0, too, because, you know, I'll say that'll be my duo in the sense that I try to, especially he's an older guy, so I try to take as much knowledge as from him. Because I'm still learning. I'm going to continue to learn until, you know, I make it all the way to the league. But I'm glad he's there to help grow me as a player and, you know, we just make each other better.
Indeed you have. And your body of work, look at the big picture here through 3 games and the Crimson's perfect start, already credited on 17 tackles, 10 of them solo. You've got a tackle for a loss overall, but now we get to what you accomplished and what the defense accomplished against Holy Cross. I guess before we talk about some of those individual plays, if you will, and game-changing plays and impactful plays, what about the plan going in? It really appeared that you had a good plan going in defensively in terms of some of the looks that you threw at Sluker and that Holy Cross offense to really keep them off balance.
Yes, I would say the plan going in was just stop the run. I feel like our defense was heavy on that, and that's what we practiced all throughout practice, just stop the run and just don't get beat over top. That was the big thing, was just stop the run and don't get beat over top, and I feel as if we executed stopping the run well, and then on the back end we did what we had to do to win the game.
Indeed you did. 5 tackles for you, 3 solo, and then, oh, by the way, the 2 really game-changing plays. Take us through the one at the end of the first half. There's nothing that gets the fans more excited than when you have an opportunity to make one of those game-changing plays on the defensive side. 26-yard pick 6, INT, real momentum swing at the end of the first half to give Harvard increase Harvard's lead going in at halftime. Just take us through on that and what your read was.
Well, I would say we were playing. If I remember correctly, I was in the third, so I was just reading the surface, and number 7, Damian broke with the pass right in front of me and just landed right in my hands. I was able to be at the right place at the right moment and capitalize and get the interception. It was great. I feel like that was a great team effort. You know, we always practice tip drill, so I feel like that was a great team effort to just, you know, get on top.
Indeed. And it seems like as the game went on, I mean, Sluker, it's well documented what he has done. He accounted for 37 touchdowns a year ago, I mean, 11 on the ground, 26 through the air, you had him off balance, you had him a little bit confused, and you had a quarterback that was looking to force things, thus the fact that the Crimson came up with 5 turnovers, 3 interceptions, and 2 fumble recoveries. And I guess the other play you got to take us through, another game-changing play, was your strip, your forced fumble was an outstanding play.
That was cool. The forced fumble was, you know, the receiver just trying to dance, and I was just, you know, at the ball, just trying to get the ball out, and I was able to do that. And when you bring up the quarterback, I feel as if that game, you know, he was a good quarterback. You know, coming in, you know, we knew a lot about him, that he could hurt us in many different ways. And I feel like as a team, as a secondary, we were able to come together as a team and be able to stop him and the other receivers on their offense.
And you did indeed from a very, very successfully. And it must have been a great moment for the defense to get the break that you got on the drive. It was an epic drive that the offense put together and keeping the ball for, I think it was almost 8 minutes on that drive overall to make that a 3-score game and give you guys a little bit of a breather to be able to be on the sideline and get ready.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was great by the offense, too. I feel like as if our offense, that whole game played lights out, just, you know, being able to put up points on the board and just be able to
confidence level of the defense right now, I can imagine AJ is just off the charts. Give us a little bit of insight about how this unit has come together and really found an identity with a big non-conference win that you got on Saturday.
Yes, I would say this win, I say it's in the past now because, you know, we're on to the next week. Every game in the Ivy League is very important, so we're on to the next. But I would say this game really shaped our confidence, as in that we know we can compete at a high level and win at a high level. But mm-hmm. we have to do that as a team. We have to come in, practice every day, work hard every single day, because we can't take anybody lightly. And we continue to work as a team, know our jobs, know our assignments, know our alignments, we're going to win the Ivy League championship this year and years to come.
Absolutely. That is the goal each year. And you mentioned about taking them one day at a time, one game at a time. The Crimson will be back on Friday. It'll be Friday Night Lights again in Ivy League play. The Crimson will be hosting Cornell. The Big Red has already had some significant victories this season. What about preparation to get ready for Cornell on Friday? And also just the opportunity, my second question would be the opportunity to play Friday Night Lights again. I'm sure you did a little Friday Night Lights in the state of Georgia.
Yes, sir. To answer the second question real quick, Friday Night Lights are always special. You know, high school, you can't escape that. Being able to play Brown and then this week Cornell on Friday night is just something special. You know, it's just because it's on Friday. And to answer the first question, talking about Cornell, I'll just say as of right now, you know, just getting to learn because it's a short week. We played Saturday. Now we're coming back the following week playing Friday. It was just learning the material. Just big on mental, because I'll say offense, defense, physically, we're good in all positions physically. But now we need to know our jobs better, know what they do, their tendencies, so we can go out there and execute on a high level Friday night.
That's what everybody in Crimson Nation is looking forward to, AJ, and looking forward to watching you play once again at a high level. Again, congratulations. The Ivy League Defensive Player of the Week and the FedEx Ground FCS National Defensive Player of the Week, as the Crimson took down Holy Cross, ending their 19-game winning streak overall, their regular season winning streak at 19. And the Crimson also, don't know if you noted this, but there are only, give you an idea of how competitive it is in FCS, there are only three unbeaten teams in FCS, and the Crimson are one of them. So this stat has been impressive.
Yes, sir. That's good to hear.
Indeed. Well, it's all been good to hear so far for the Crimson. Hopefully, keep it going here as the month of October dawns. AJ, thanks very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Congratulations again, and look forward to this Friday and success for the Crimson and the Crimson defense.
Yes, sir. And I would like to thank you again for having me.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, AJ. AJ Lopez, sophomore from Loganville, Georgia. He is our Crimson profile this week, the National Defensive Player of the Week here on Inside Harvard Football.